Turn together, if you would please, to the book of Genesis again, and chapter 42 and 43 and 44. You think I'm joking? I'm serious. We're gonna cover all of those tonight. But you remember last time in our study, we saw how that Joseph's brothers had been sent by their father. They've gone down into Egypt to buy food because of the famine that is there. And so they go down into Egypt to buy food for their families and for their father. And when they came to Egypt, you remember, they, unbeknownst to them, they ended up meeting face to face with their brother, Joseph. And you remember we saw how that Joseph, when he saw them, immediately he recognized them. He knew who they were, but the brothers did not recognize Joseph. And you remember Joseph spoke to them. He spoke to them, first of all, through the interpreter. In other words, he was speaking Egyptian. He didn't even revert back into his own language. He speaks to them through an interpreter, speaking to them in Egypt. And then he spoke to them roughly. He was not really hospitable. Spoke to them roughly, and as a result of that, you remember, we saw that Joseph was actually putting his brothers through a test. He was putting his brothers through a test because he wanted to know if they had changed over the past 20 years. Have they changed since they had sold him into slavery those many years before? And you remember we saw how that he actually created a mirror. He replayed for them. He replayed for them their actions so that they would be able to see the wickedness of their own sin against him. And so he accused them just as they had accused him. He accused them of being spies, you remember. And in order to prove they were not spies, Joseph commanded that they were to bring Benjamin, their youngest brother. They were to bring him down to Egypt. And when he saw their youngest brother, then he would accept that they were not really spies. And then you remember, so in order that they would have time to decide who was going to go back to Canaan and return with Benjamin, he put all of them in prison for 3 days. Put them in there for 3 days so they would have time to, start to say have time to pray about it, but anyway, have time to think about it, okay? Think about who was going to go. But then you remember he changed the rules just as they had changed the rules with him. He changed the rules. And instead of keeping all of them and sending one, he said, okay, we're going to change that. Now we're going to send all of you can go home except for one. One of you will have to stay here. And so he released all of them except for Simeon. Simeon was the one who was put into the prison. And then he not only gave them the corn that they needed, you remember, but he also graciously restored to them the money that they had brought for the purchase. Restored to them the money that they had brought for the purchase. I have to tell you this. On the way to church tonight, we were riding in the taxi, and the driver, we were talking, we were talking about our kids, and he was talking about his family. He has some living in America and all of that. And he was telling us about his sister who lives there. And then he said, you know, when I was in the Baptist church, I said, say what? You were in a Baptist church? He said, yeah. I said, which church you go to? It was the International Baptist Church over there. He lives over in that area. He said, yeah, that's where I go. And I asked him about, did you get saved there? Yeah, that's where I got saved, baptized there. And anyway, so when we arrived at the church, I was going to pay him, you know. He said, oh, no, no, you keep your money. I felt like Joseph. But then he put a condition on it. He said, drop it in the offering. I did, Brother Moore. You saw it. Just want to make sure I did that, okay? So I dropped it in the offering. But anyway, so they returned and they found their money, okay? It was returned to them. And you remember in verse number 35, and verse number 35 of chapter 42, the Bible says that both they and their father saw the bundles of money and they were afraid. They're afraid. Now, that's where we stopped last time. That's where we stopped. Let's continue now by noticing, number one, as you follow along in your notes, number one, the determination. The determination. In other words, I want us to notice here the determination of Jacob. I want us to notice the determination of Jacob. And there's four things that we find mentioned. First of all, there is his grief. Letter A. There is his grief. In verse number 36, the Bible says, "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." All these things are against. By the way, there's an important point here we ought to notice. There's an important point we ought to notice. All of these things, remember this, all of these things that happened with Joseph and were happening with Simeon, all of those things were a part of God's plan. All of those things were a part of God's plan in order that He might move them to a place where they could be prospered and where they could be blessed. However, because Jacob did not understand what God was doing, Jacob could not look into the mind of God and see what God was doing, and he therefore could not understand why all of these things were happening in his life, why all of these bad things are happening. And so his conclusion is, all of these things are against me, when the reality was all of those things were actually for him. He just couldn't see it. He just couldn't see it. In other words, Jacob, just like we do so many times, fell into the trap of wallowing in the mire of self-pity because he couldn't fathom what God was doing behind the scenes in his life. All these things are against me, he said, his grief. Notice letter B, his assurance. Now Reuben is going to step up. And Reuben spake unto his father, verse number 37. Reuben spake unto his father, saying, "Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again." So the assurance is, Reuben says, "I'm willing to put my sons' lives on the line. This is my assurance to you. This is my guarantee. If I fail to take Benjamin down and bring him back, then you can take the lives of my sons, and I will be bereaved as you have been bereaved." So there's the assurance. Then let her see. We see his choice. His choice. Jacob, he said, verse 38, "My son shall not go down." It's not going to happen. You know, when people start getting old, don't listen to this, Brother Moore. They get stubborn. No. Everybody except Brother Moore. Oh, he said she does. Okay, no, we won't go there. Jacob, not going to happen. He's not going to go down. I will not send him. I will not send him. And then we see his reason, letter D, in verse 38. Here's the reason. Because his brother, that is Joseph, he's dead. Joseph is dead. Remember, Jacob had seen the coat stained and ripped and torn, stained with the blood of a lamb. He was convinced Joseph is dead. So he says, Joseph, his brother's dead, and he is left alone. In other words, he's the only surviving son of his mother, Rachel. And so therefore, if mischief befall him in the way which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. In other words, I'll die. I'll have no reason left to live. And I'll die. If anything happens to Benjamin, my life is tied up in the life of that boy. And if anything happens to him, I'm going to die. He cannot go down. I will not send him down to Egypt. So time passed. Time passed. Now we come to chapter 43. Now we come to chapter 43. And I want you to notice as we come to chapter 43, it begins number 2. There is the command. There is the command. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food." Now they've eaten up all the corn that was brought the first time. Now Jacob says, we're running out of food. You need to go back and buy some more. Notice three things that we find here. First of all, there is the protest. In verse 3 to verse number 5, the protest was simply, these brothers said, we cannot go without Benjamin. If we don't take Benjamin, it's a wasted trip. Not only will Simeon be lost, but you remember Joseph said, if we don't bring him, we're going to die too. And so there was the protest. And then there was the complaint, letter B. There was the complaint in verse number 6. The complaint was simply this. Jacob said, why did you even tell him you had a brother? Why didn't you just keep your mouth shut? You know, some people, if they don't tell their whole life story, they think they're lying. You know? Confession is good for the soul. But he said, why didn't you just be quiet? Why did you have to tell him that you had a brother? And then we find the explanation in verse number 7. The explanation. And they explained to their father how that the governor, of course that's Joseph, but how that he had asked them some very pointed questions. I mean, straight out he asked them, is your father still alive? I mean, that's yes or no, okay? Is your father still alive? And then he asked another, do you have a younger brother? You remember Joseph asked those questions, very pointed questions, very straightforward questions. And then they explained to their father, not only did he ask us some very straightforward questions, but when he asked us the questions and we gave the answer, how could we know what he would command us to do? There's no way we could know that. No way we could know. And so we see the explanation. And then we see in verse 18 down to verse 14, we see the surrender. We see the surrender. We see Jacob's promise. Judah declared that he would be a surety for him. In other words, Jacob says, like Reuben has already given his guarantee, now Judah steps forward and says, if we do not bring Benjamin back, then I will bear the blame forever. I will do that. And so we see the promise given to Jacob. Then we see Jacob's preparation. Jacob's preparation. And there's a couple of things that we find there. First of all, there was the preparation of a gift for the governor. Jacob puts together a little gift of some things that would be found there in their area. And so he puts together a little gift basket to send down to the governor. By the way, even the Bible says in Proverbs 18:16 that a man's gift maketh room for him. Man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. And so there was wisdom in this. And so Jacob prepared. He prepared a gift. But not only did he prepare a gift for the governor, he also prepared a payment for the governor. Notice in verse number 12, Jacob said to his sons, he said, take double money in your hand. Take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again, peradventure, It was an oversight. In other words, you take the money that we found returned in the bags of corn that you brought. You take that money, plus take more money to buy more corn, because that it may have been an accident that the money was put into the bag. And so you go prepared. And so we see Jacob's preparation. And then number three, we see Jacob's prayer. In verse 13 and verse number 14, here's his prayer. He said, "Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." Surrender. The surrender of it. Now we're going to move from Canaan and we're going to go back to Egypt. And let's notice now the examination. The examination. Joseph is going to continue the examination of his brothers. You remember the first part of his examination was to see if their attitude concerning their evil deeds had changed. That was the first part. He wanted to know if they understood the wickedness of what they had done. And of course, he found that was the case. He found that was the case. And Joseph had mirrored all their evil that they had done, and they made their confession in chapter 42, verse 21. They said, "All of this has happened to us because of what we did to our brother." They understand the evil deeds that they have committed. But now the second part of this examination that we're going to see now, the second part was to discover the extent of their repentance. Is to discover the extent of their repentance. You see, many people are sorry for their past sins when they're in a hard place. Right? I mean, when we sin and all that, life gets hard and we have all these problems, and boy, we get really sorry. "Oh God, I am so sorry. You know, please deliver me from, you know, I am so sorry." And boy, we can repent. Problem is, we really don't repent. We really don't repent. We go through all the motions. And that's why as soon as the hard times let up and things get good again, we go right back to our old ways. It's because we never really have repented to begin with. So with that in mind, let's begin reading now verse number 15. The men took that present. And they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home, and slay, and make ready. For these men shall dine with me at noon." These men will dine with me at noon. Now, instead of speaking roughly to them as he did before, now Joseph is showing great kindness to them. Now he is showing them great kindness, and naturally his brothers are suspicious. Has everybody been real nice to you? And you start wondering, now what are they up to? Yeah, so he's being nice to me. What does he really want, you know? Yeah, what's he got up his sleeve? What's he after? So his brothers are suspicious. They thought it's all an elaborate scheme, an elaborate trap, because of the money that had been returned to them during their first visit. Find that in verses 17 down to verse number 22. But Joseph's steward assures them in verse 23 and 24 that he had received their payment. Now, you think the man was lying? I don't think so. Well, if their money was in their bag and the steward received the payment, who do you think might have paid for it? I suspect Joseph did out of his own pocket. And not only that, after he assured them that their money had been received, their accounts were settled, there were no outstanding debts, he then went and released their brother from prison, brings Simeon in, He then gives them water so that they can wash their feet. He then sends out and takes care of their animals, their donkeys. He feeds them. And in verse number 25, it says that they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. So they're preparing the present that their father prepared, getting it all ready to present to Joseph. They understand they're going to be eating dinner or eating lunch there. And so now they're waiting for Joseph to return. And that brings us to the second part of the examination. Letter A. There was a preparation. Verse 26 down to verse number 32, we find three things. First of all, we find questions. Questions. Joseph asked his brothers about the health of their father. He wants to know, is he still alive? How's his health? Things that any person would want to know about their dad after being separated for a long time. And so there were the questions. And then we noticed that there was restraint. There was restraint. Joseph sees Benjamin there, and when he sees his full brother. Now remember, these other brothers were literally only half brothers. Benjamin's his full brother. Same father, same mother. They're full brothers. And when he sees Benjamin, he's overcome with emotion. Notice it in verse 30 and verse 31. The Bible says that when he saw Benjamin, Joseph made haste. For his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there and washed his face and went out and refrained himself. And he had to control himself, had to control his emotions, had to control his emotions. And so there's the restraint. Then there's the separation. We find the separation in verse 31 and verse number 32. Joseph said, set on bread. In other words, prepare the table. It's time for us to eat. And so they set on for him by himself. Joseph has his little table over there. He's by himself. And then they set bread for themselves, his Egyptian servants and steward and all. They were by their self. And which did eat with him, and by themselves, because, here's why, the Egyptians might not eat bread with Hebrews. They wouldn't eat bread with Hebrews, because that would be an abomination for the Egyptians. They would not eat with people from another place. And so Joseph has his table, his Egyptian servants have their table, his brothers are seated at a different table. So the preparation. Notice letter B. Letter B. There was an observation. An observation. Verse number 33 to verse number 34, we find the observation. Notice verse 33 says, and they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one another. In other words, they observe here that here this Egyptian governor, who they have never met before the first time they were there, they think. They never met this guy before, yet now he has seated them in perfect order according to their birth. And they're amazed. How did he know that? How was he able to do such a thing? And so in verse 34, it says he took and sent messes unto them from before him. In other words, Joseph prepared their plates of food. From before him, he prepared the plate and sent it to them. Now he's already seated them in the proper order, right? Therefore, he knows who is the oldest, he knows who is the youngest. And he knows exactly who should receive, as the eldest son, who should receive the highest honor. And yet, notice what Joseph does. Instead of giving the biggest plate to the firstborn, he gives the biggest plate to Benjamin. In fact, the Bible says in verse number 37, Benjamin's mess, that doesn't mean it was sloppy, okay? It just means it was a plate of food. But Benjamin's mess, notice it was five times. I mean, those guys got a plate. Benjamin got the platter, okay? I mean, he got the whole thing. Five times more than the others. Five times more. Now, here's the thing I want you to notice. I believe with all my heart, Joseph is watching all of this very carefully. Because he wants to see, how will my brothers respond? How will my brothers respond? When their father had honored him with a coat of many colors, they hated him. They despised him. They wanted to kill him. Now Joseph is honoring an even younger brother, five times more than all the others. And Joseph wants to see if that same root of jealousy and bitterness is still in their heart. He wants to see if it's still there. And so he watched them carefully to see what their reaction would be. And I think the reaction, though it's not stated openly, I think it's clearly implied. When you notice the last part of verse 34 says, they drank and they were merry with him. They're not upset. They're not angry. They're not filled with bitterness. They're happy. They're merry in the presence of Joseph. So then we find letter C. There was an appraisal. There was an appraisal. Now we come to Genesis 44. I told you we were going to hit all of them tonight, okay? Genesis 44. I want us to notice a couple of things here. First of all, I want us to notice the plot. The plot. In verse 1 to verse number 3, Joseph told his steward to fill each of the brothers' sacks with food, just as they had done before. He also commands that the money of each of those brothers is to be returned into their sack, just as has been done before. But there's something different now. Joseph told his steward, I want you to take my silver cup and I want you to put it in Benjamin's sack. I want the silver cup that I drink from, I want you to put that into Benjamin's sack. And the Bible says in verse number 3 that as soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. So we see the plot. Now notice number 2, the chase. Verse number 4. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? And so Joseph's steward, as he is commanded, gave chase. Verse 6 says he overtook them. And then we find number 3, the interrogation. In verse 7 to verse number 12, the interrogation. Of course, when the steward arrives and demands why one of them has stolen Joseph's silver cup, they were shocked to hear the accusation. They're shocked to hear it. In fact, notice a couple of things here. First of all, there is the review. The review. They remind the steward how that their money had been returned, but they didn't keep it. They had actually brought it back. We're honest men. We're true men. We're not thieves. Our money was returned and we brought it back to you. We brought it back to you. And so because of that, they said in verse 9, with whomsoever of thy servants thy it be found, talking about that silver cup, whichever one of us you find that cup with, both let him die and the rest of us will be your servants forever. Ooh. Didn't know what they were saying, did they? The review. Then we find the search. Starting with the eldest. Each bag was searched. First one, and the next one, next one, next one. All down. Then they come to the last, Benjamin. He opened up the sack. And there it is. There it is. Now, if these men were still evil, If these were still the same kind of men that had sold Joseph into slavery because of hatred and jealousy, if these men were still unchanged after being humbled and seeing Benjamin so exalted, this would be a good time for them to desert their brother and be justified in doing it. But as one writer has noted, their envious hearts would be secretly glad at his misfortune. And with vindictive passiveness, they would let Benjamin be taken into slavery in Egypt, just as they let Joseph go to Egypt into slavery. That would have been the thing that they would have done. But I want you to notice the return, number four. The change in Joseph's brothers was made clearly evident because instead of deserting Benjamin, verse 13 says, they rent their clothes, laid at every man his ass, and all of them returned together to Egypt. They all go back. Their brothers are going to stick together. I cannot help but think, just like the prodigal, the father of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, the Bible says that the father was watching for the return of his son, and he saw him from a great way off. And I can't help but think, but Joseph, as he was waiting for the servant to come back and the brothers, I can't help but think that he was watching. Would Benjamin come back alone, or would they all come back together? Would they stand united, or would they be divided by jealousy and by hatred? And his heart must have certainly rejoiced to see that his brothers, even though there's one more test that he's going to give them, there's one more test he's going to put them through. But I can't help but think that he was thrilled to death to see that his brothers were truly proving to be true men who had been changed by the power of God. By the way, that's the same kind of change that ought to be seen in the life of every person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. And that same kind of change that is seen in the lives of those who trusted Christ, that's exactly what Joseph saw in the lives of his brothers, and how his heart must have rejoiced to see it. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for your word. Pray that you would take these thoughts that we've been able to see together this evening, and pray that you would apply them in each heart and in each life according to our need. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your prayer list this evening,